My spouse has turned away from God. What now? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Alwinson, as par usual for the course, thought I'd throw in a little bit of golf lingo there for you. I gave up golf a long time
ago. Oh, I don't golf anymore, man.
Oh, really? I thought you did.
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm so bad.
Oh, me too. I said to a friend, I gave up golf. He said, no, you didn't. You never played. Pete Alwinson is my pastor. He comes in on Friday, and we answer questions together. And I appreciate him and his insight more than I can tell you. We love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. But be sure and include your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. Well, you can ask. You just won't get an answer. But you can get the magazine free, and you get the tapes free, and you can get the booklets free, and you can make a contribution. But we would appreciate it if you would write your questions down. And by the way, don't give us 18 pages of 14 bazillion questions. You know, we're not a big ministry, and it drives us nuts. It means that staff people are going to be working on your letter exclusively for 4 weeks. And so try to limit it to one or two, and we would appreciate that very much. Why don't you lead us in prayer before I say something even worse?
I think we need it.
Let's pray.
Father, you're good, and we come to you today because we're your sons and daughters, and we're glad that we are. We come to you in worship, and we need you in our lives. It's been a good week. It's been a busy week. For some, it's been hard, but Lord, we thank you that you will never leave us and you'll never forsake us, that your intent for us is always good and that you're always working your will out for your good and our good. And we honor you, Father, today. We look forward to worship on Sunday or this weekend sometime. And Lord, we ask you to fill us with the ability to focus on you and not just ourselves. We need to get the bigger picture. We need to remember that you're in charge and that you're good and that you're holy and that Jesus died for us. So help us to worship you and be with our leaders as they prepare. Give them the message. May they speak it, Lord, out of conviction and out of heart, but also with grace. Protect our pastor families and children and all those, Lord, who stand in the gap for you. We ask that you would just bless this time. Be with Key Life and honor it as we seek to honor you, for we pray in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this is from North Carolina. What can I do or say to my spouse who is turned away from God?
It is a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think initially that they just need to keep living their Christian life and not nag or not harp on that person.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. I'd say continue to follow Christ the best you can, although this does bring complications.
Oh, yeah.
Into following Christ. Sometimes a spouse really can put pressure on you to abandon obedience or something.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
And you can't. But I think be gracious about it and try to be humble in your desire to follow Jesus. I think to cause a fight makes things worse.
You know, sometimes a person turns away from God because they're ticked at their spouse,
mm-hmm.
It's a part of their weapon. Mm-hmm. Or if your wife or husband turns away from the church or from God, you can be on them like ugly on an ape, as that has to do with other issues. And so you have to make sure this is clearly the issue.
That's right. And I think it's important to tell what your perspective is.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, it seems like, gosh, you're really moving away from the Lord. And you know, that's not who we are. It's not who. But I think we do have to give people space. And I do think, you know, there are a lot of other reasons. It might be they're mad at the spouse. Might be that someone they love very much died.
Yep.
And they're mad at God.
Yeah.
And
I can understand that.
Yeah, I can too. We have a lot of questions.
You know, that's a hard one. But I believe that God loves your spouse more than you do. And I think there is. There's a question I saw about coming. Oh, I know where it is. Where we're going to talk. In fact, it's the next question from Tennessee. I think there's a covenant relationship that God is concerned with within marriage. And I think we can ask God. You know, Paul says, and it means a lot of different things, but he says the unbelieving spouse, husband, is sanctified or set apart by the believing spouse. And so there's a sense in which you do provide not a salvation covering, but a covering for your spouse.
Yeah.
But you got to be Christian about it and give space.
Yeah, that's 1 Corinthians 7.
Oh, is it? I am so impressed.
I know. It's one of the few verses I really know. But, you know, that's a powerful passage.
Yeah, it really is.
Don't abandon your, you know, just because they're right now going away doesn't mean you've lost your ministry. It just means your ministry is a little different in their life.
So true.
And you are crucial.
And have some friends you trust, pray.
Yeah.
But
don't make your spouse so known to everybody that it embarrasses them so they can't come back.
Oh, do I agree. Well,
it's good stuff.
This is from Tennessee, and it does, and it's a good crossover question since the states are together also, Tennessee and North Carolina.
That's good. You know your geography, man.
Well, I was just trying to think. I hope I'm right about that. But I grew up in North Carolina, so I know I am. Is there any guarantee that if a parent believes that his or her children will also be saved?
I think the quick answer is no, but we do, again, back to that 1 Corinthians 7 passage, that our children also are set apart. In fact, they're called holy, and I tell our people that sometimes your kids are holy terrors, but but they are set apart. They're holy. They're not saved yet until they embrace Christ.
But that doesn't mean the covenant relationship of the family. God does work there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, typically speaking, our children are going to come to faith in Christ. There's some biblical examples where that wasn't. I mean, Samuel's sons and Eli's sons, those were bad dudes. And as far as we know, they weren't saved.
So it's not an absolute promise.
Right. But generally speaking, it's true that our children will come to faith in Christ.
That's good.
Great comfort.
But not absolutely. You, incidentally, at our baptism services at the church, you always make a very clear statement before the baptism about this covenant relationship, how important it is, but how this does not save.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's good. This is from South Carolina. Man, I tell you, and because I know my geography, this also is a state that connects to North Carolina where I grew up.
It really is.
Are you amazed with my...
You know, you understand the contiguous states of the Union.
That's right. Can we lose our salvation?
No, we can't. You know the doctrine, once saved, always saved, or perseverance of saints? I like to call it preservation of the saints.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's not like we hold on to it. It's a gift, and God holds on to us.
What about people who, for all intents and purposes, seem to have lost their salvation?
Well, like that one we said where the spouse seems to have gone away.
What if they never come back?
Yeah, well, they may never come back in our... And our exposure to them, but they may they probably weren't saved in the first. If they never come back, they probably were not saved to begin with.
Isn't that what John said in one of the letters?
Yeah.
He said they went out from among us.
That's right.
Because they were not a part of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't believe you can lose your salvation.
No.
Okay. This is, let me see how much time we have, because this is pretty heavy. This is an email. How can a loving God allow such evil and struggle in the world? In 10 words or less.
you had said earlier, your answer to this was, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and in essence, that's the book of Job. There aren't any answers there. Now there are answers. If, people who listen to this broadcast, by and large, are believers. Mm-hmm. We're believers. And so we can say to believers safely, you know, I don't know. I know that God is good, and I know that God is good all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the big question is if we are as bad as the Bible says we are, how come there's any good in the world?
Yeah, yeah.
That's John Wyndham's argument. And if we were talking to pagans and this were a debate, we could win it. I mean, we would say all the things that you can say to win the argument. But ultimately, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of answers for that.
I know. And I think inherent in this question is really the issue, how can God allow evil to continue? Actually, He doesn't allow, He has done something about it. He
yeah.
sent Jesus. He's paid for it. He's coming back to clean up the mess.
Yeah.
But He is letting it go on longer than we can understand. And I think the one little passage in First Peter, where he talks about the patience of our Lord is for salvation. In other words, He's waiting because He's working to bring many of His people to faith in Christ, and that's why He hasn't brought the end of time.
I agree.
So that's one answer to this, but it is a very complex
issue. Oh, it
issue.
Is. Yeah. It is a very, and we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand when people I love get sick and die too soon. And I don't understand it. You know, I hope that I don't rail against God, that this very clear teaching that we're talking about now mm-hmm. will be a reality in my own life mm-hmm. when the bad stuff happens as well as when the good stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always say, you know, I don't like flying. And, I have Christians who say, put me by a pagan, I'll witness for you. I always say, put me by a Christian, because if this plane gets into trouble, it's hard to make a witness and be screaming at the same time. But I would hope that even when the plane goes down, that God's grace would be sufficient at that point.
Absolutely.
That what we teach now would be a reality
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Listen, we don't have enough time to answer questions, but we're not out of time, actually. Why don't you confess your three biggest sins? And that'll be just about it. I used to teach a men's Bible study. When somebody come new, we would say that. We would say, when you first come, you have to confess your three biggest sins. And one guy started. He didn't realize it was a joke, and we had to stop him before he did something really bad. Pete, I appreciate you, man. And I know how busy your schedule is, and I thank you so much for taking time out of it to spend it with us.
It's good to be here, and I love your ministry.
Hey, thank you, man. Guys, we're out of here. Be sure and give us the call letters whenever you write or call Key Life. And then one other thing, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.